CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. The headlines from Europe. European companies step up efforts to decouple from China. Move comes as Brussels increases scrutiny of goods from world's largest export economy. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang is with me, and we're very pleased to be joined by Anne Stevenson Yang, the author most recently of Wild Ride, A Short History of the Opening and Closing of the Chinese Economy. The other news from Europe, Anne and Gordon, is that they're still counting votes for the European Union Assembly in Brussels. However, Reuters and the AP and the FT and Bloomberg are all united in saying that the so-called far-right parties, that requires interpretation, of major economies, that would be Germany, France especially, have moved ahead of what the expectation was, and that is now the trend in the European Parliament, although the center and center-right still hold the majority of seats. Macron, the president of France, has now called a snap election for his parliament, in which it will be Macron's version of Paris versus Marine Le Pen's version of Paris. The National Rally Party will be the next test for the far right. Alternative for Deutschland in Germany did very well and is seen as a challenge to the socialists who now lead the coalition. All this doesn't necessarily translate into China, but then again, China's everywhere in Europe. So a very good day to you. And what is your thought about Europe decoupling from China? It's a big headline in the FT. Is it backed up by the facts? Good evening to you, Anne.
Good evening, John. I mean, look, I think that the elections suggest what we all know, which is that the public is really, really sick of this 40-50-year alliance among the elites in China, Russia, the U.S., Europe, and everywhere else, and they want change. It is a little bit reminiscent of the 1930s and a little bit scary, the idea that there will be this this decoupling. I don't think decoupling is actually very possible, but the public wants change, that's for sure.
Gordon, what is your thought about the word decouple in the FT headline? It certainly dominates the story of China right now. Good evening, Gordon.
Good evening, John. If you look over the course of, let's say, a decade, yes, there is a move away from China, but it's at a pretty early stage in Europe. What we're seeing in Europe right now is a rejection, as Anne said, of elites. It's a rejection of globalism, multilateralism, and it is moving towards a notion of each state retaining its own sovereignty. So it is a very interesting movement, and I think this movement will continue for at least quite some time.
Gordon, you have a question for Anne.
And right now, the EU is thinking of imposing additional tariffs on Chinese EVs, and the decision could come as early as the middle of this week. China is fighting this vigorously. Where do you think this will come out in Brussels?
You know, it's I think that tariffs are an inevitability as the governments of the EU and the public are very concerned about the exports of Chinese-made EVs to Europe. I think that German companies are getting a little bit anxious about it as well, but one would say that this is much more the sort of decoupling effort is much more government-led than company-led at this point.
And about EV electric vehicles, the American public gets a vote. And the vote is, we're not sure. And that is certainly true in the part of New England where I live. I see Teslas on Sunday. It's sort of like a car to take to the golf match. And that's fine, but it's trending into the hands of those who have expendable cash and also want to park it in the middle of town and talk about it. It is not a national mania. Hence, Ford and GM are not succeeding with their EVs. So the tariffs imposed on EVs here are severe, although for the cheapest car, it still is a good bargain. Any tariffs imposed in Europe has to deal with the same prospect that the European buying public won't embrace EVs any more than the American public. So China's anticipation of dumping, I'm wondering if they've taken the temperature of the consumer and recognize that the consumer in America, certainly the best trained consumer in the galaxy, is hesitating.
I mean, that is certainly true, John. It's probably most true in the United States because we're a big country and you drive long distances. And the whole point of having a car here is freedom. So freedom to hop in your car and just drive 200-300 miles if you want to. And so I think there's a lot of range anxiety among the public. It's really hard to find the charging stations, and you have to be very concerned about planning your route around where they are. And so I think people have gotten very hesitant about it. And the idea that EVs are going to solve all of our environmental problems, I think that's very misplaced.
And Gordon, Anne makes an excellent point. EVs solve our environmental programs. I would say that climate change is a debatable point in the U.S. Maybe so in Germany. I do not believe the so-called far-right parties that are succeeding are keen on green technology. How do you see the Chinese ambition? Have they taken our measure, Gordon, or are they just assuming they'll have the same rush of cash they did with solar panels?
I think that people in China should be concerned because there's not only resistance to China's products in the U.S. and to a lesser extent in Europe, but we're starting to see it in the global south, where, for instance, Turkey has imposed additional tariffs on Chinese EVs, which was a little bit of a surprise to me. Brazil is going after other Chinese products. And the reason why this is important is because Xi Jinping's only realistic plan to rescue the Chinese economy now involves exporting more to the world. So if he can't export more to the world, he's basically faced with an eroding economic situation at home.
You have a question for Anne, Gordon.
Anne, I was intrigued by your answer on America's resistance to EVs, because I was basically thinking the same thing. I think about my daughter who lives in France. She has a gas-powered car, but the trips that she takes are really no more than to the grocery store. And every once in a while, she'll drive up to the nearest Swiss city. But it seems to me that EVs could actually be practical in Europe, and they might actually be accepted there, where they would not be accepted, and I think they will not be accepted in the U.S. Your thoughts about EVs in Europe?
Yeah, I think that's true, Gordon. I think that an EV can be a practical solution if you live in a very dense city and you just drive to work. So Hong Kong, for example. But, Tesla occupied the sort of high-end sports car space for the longest time in EVs and really was not challenged. Now it needs to transition into being just a regular old car that people buy. And I think people are going to be very price sensitive about that. But the fact is, we really need to rethink our whole personal mobility system. You mentioned your daughter in France. I think that's very true about shorter driving distances in Europe. But also, my kids were sort of not too interested in getting their driver's licenses at 16. I had my learner's permit the moment I turned 15. And the second I turned 16, I had a driver's license. Kids today have Ubers. They're a whole lot less interested in that sort of thing. I think we need to look more at public transportation and less at everybody having their own car.
A quote from the article in the FT, Anne. Customers are saying, this is a man who does business with China suppliers, I don't care what you do, just get me 30% outside of China and sometimes even more. Some have even said that I want to be completely out of China. In other words, they're hedging their bets. Is that adequate, Anne, for decoupling? Give me a supplier that I can go to in case the Chinese fall apart.
Yeah, I think that the companies are really concerned about spreading their sourcing among different territories and splitting up types of sourcing so that they're not completely dependent on China. Obviously, the political risks in China have become much more obvious in the last 5 years, and companies are thinking, damn, I really need to look at, Vietnam, Malaysia, Mexico, and so on and so forth.
Anne Stephenson Yang is the author of Wild Ride, A Short History of the Opening and Closing of the Chinese economy. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.